Angela.
Morning.
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 Good morning.
Good morning, Brandy.
Hey,
how are you?
Donna, how are you? Oh, I'm
good.
Doing better. Doing better.
Doing better, great. Great.
It's a little cold, but I'm doing better.
Yeah. It's going to get colder, so stay warm.
Well, think warm.
Okay.
And maybe,
we'll think warm.
And maybe Hashem will increase the temperature. Like in the 75 outside.
That would be great for everybody. Right, get them well anyway, huh?
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. How's the leg going? How's the leg feeling?
Well, my leg doesn't hurt as much anymore. It's going pretty good. When I went to the doctor's on Friday, he said 3 more weeks in this leg brace, and then come back and see him. And what was good is it's fractured rather than actually broken, so no surgery.
Oh, that's great.
That's a really good thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad for all of that. Thank you, God.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Jasmine.
Good morning.
I still can't put any weight on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take care of it like you're supposed to, and you'll get well quickly.
Well, it will. It will. It just takes time for that leg to get well.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to paint the last step of the stairway bright yellow.
Okay, that'll help.
Yeah, so I won't miss it again.
That was a smart thing to do.
I'm glad this month is almost over.
I know.
Remember, Hanok said that this month was a little trouble with the...
That's right, yeah.
Like that. Remember?
I remember that, yes.
Yeah.
Was trouble with the what?
Fallings, you know, like...
Well, I accomplished that.
Yeah.
I just went down like a sack of potatoes.
My goodness. Are you okay?
Oh, goodness.
Well, I thought I'd broken my leg. I fractured it.
My goodness.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We will start. Today's class is with the handout that we've been using the last few weeks, Psalms landing page and the Tanit Dibur preparation, which is the PDF file titled Yearning for Redemption by Rabbi Sutton. We're going to open with Rabbi Sutton's file at Tehillim 9. We did the introduction on Friday. I'm getting static, so I'd appreciate it if you'd mute your phones by pressing *6. Thank you. We're starting with Tehillim 9. We have done the introduction on Friday, so we will just start directly with the, I believe it's 11 verses, and we'll start with Elishay Yehud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bit Kilu Urfimu Ud Kilu Ud Kilu Urfimu L'yakta L'shem Yud He Bavad He B'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah La'ihino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kudene Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kudenehu. Verse 1. Lanatsea amut laben mizmor le David. Lanatsea almut laben, dedicated to the one who grants immortality to Israel, the firstborn son, and I'm scrolling down to page 12. For some reason, my scrolling key seems to be locked. So it's going to take me a few minutes to get back to the proper location. Firstborn son and extinction to the nations that oppose the godly plan. Mizmor le David, which is a cutting psalm by David. And we have footnote number 28. The words Almut Laben are the key to this psalm. First, Almut can be read as one word or two. As one word, it comes from the root Olam or Alam, which is Ayin Lamed Mem. Alam itself has many forms, each one of them important in our context. Olam is a world. Olam is eternity. Elem, or Ne'elam, is hidden or concealed. Alam is youth. And as an additional unwritten commentary from myself, this is just one word that is so importantly, when you read in the Torah where there are no vowels, it's important to understand that this is part of the 70 explanations of the Torah. So we have four different explanations, translations for this one word, Ayin Lamed Mem, without any without any vowels. And it's interesting to note that Ayin Lamed Mem is one of the 72 names of God that has to do with protection against negative thoughts. So you, right there, you have five different understandings, five different translations of the 70 levels of Torah. And if you have a verse with 10 words, and each of those words have these five different understandings, you can see how it's easy to get to that understanding. The reality, though, is that most words do not have this many different translations. But there's almost all of the words have multiple translations, and it's something to really recognize. I'm continuing to read. Laban can mean to the son. Which son? It can also be a man's name. Who is this man? Even this is multifaceted. Our translation attempts to cover the full range of meaning inherent in these words. In the end, the main theme of the psalm and the two following psalms is overcoming death and attaining immortality for those who align themselves with the godly force of good, death for those who become vehicles for the force of evil, which seeks to undermine the godly plan. I think you can appreciate how much more we can say about this one beginning first verse. And it wasn't that there was 11 verses. There was 11 verses in Psalm 8. Second verse. Oh, De Adonai, Yohewahe, Bekali bi asapra, Kol nifliotecha. I thank you, Hashem, with my whole heart. I will relate all the supernatural wonders that you have performed from time immemorial. Why? Let me ask the question of you to make the point. King David is saying that he's going to relate all of the wonders and miracles that Hashem did. And he's going to start from the beginning of time. First off, a student of Kabbalah needs to question, what is the beginning of time? Isn't time always existed? Isn't time something that is inherent in the nature of God? The answer is, time is a creation. And we should realize that because we have different time zones that could just as easily not be where they are. They could be moved around. The international dateline could be changed through agreement of human beings. Does that change time? The answer is no. What is time? And we have taught in Kabbalah, time is the distance between cause and effect. So what is it? Why does King David, another question, why does King David want or feel he needs to relate all of these different wonders and miracles and supernatural events that Hashem has performed? The answer the sages would give you is these super wonderful, supernatural events, these miracles, these wonders, this is a way of praising Hashem. If you describe a miracle, I was almost in an accident and I escaped by a miracle. Are you praising Hashem with that statement? The answer should be yes. For most people, they do not make the connection. And this is just an indication of how far our generation is from Hashem, how far we have fallen, even in just 2,500 years, which is about the time that King David lived. Verse 3. Eshmecha Azamra Shimcha Elyon. I will rejoice and exult in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Is that referring to the previous verse or to the future verses or to both? And why does he want to sing praises to God? When you sing praises to God, does that enhance your life? The answer is, when you sing praises to Hashem, your consciousness is connecting to Hashem. You move closer to Hashem. You start to recognize how amazing, awe-inspiring, fear-driven for some levels of consciousness the creation is. The fact that we breathe, the fact that we hear, the fact that we see, the fact that we can touch, the fact that we can know that we touched, all of these things and more. Mundane physical actions are awe-inspiring. And that is built into this simple verse. I did not notice, but I just did, that there is a footnote, number 29. God's name is synonymous with his providence, specifically the hidden providence that guides history to the final goal. In this sense, this verse is the flip side of the previous verse, in which David vows to relate all of God's supernatural wonders, his revealed miracles. Here he sings praises to the name, not mentioning which name, thus referring to the hidden providence that works behind the scenes, and which by doing so creates the impression that it is absent. This is necessary in order to give humankind the necessary free will, and hence the responsibility to choose to see God's hidden hand or not, to participate in bringing his plan to fruition or not. Fourth verse. B'shuvo yevai achor yikashlu vayovdu. When my enemies retreat in defeat, let them stumble and be devastated before you. Six words connect to Zerantin, to heaven. Six words connect to Hashem. Just because someone has retreated in defeat, does that mean that they will be devastated before Hashem? Hashem loves all of his creations. When there is a conflict between nations, they both pray to the same God. They both expect to win because they are right in their view of that God. And this causes us to realize, what is the meaning of the word enemy? There's only one enemy of any human being. That enemy is the negative system, is Satan. So when Satan loses, he stumbles and he is devastated before Hashem. That's what the statement is asking, praying for, praising. But the reality is, it's a true statement. Hashem is devastated before God. And the result of that devastation is Satan supports God's program, Hashem's program. Not the ultimate Hashem, the highest Hashem, the Hashem that created Satan, but the Hashem who lowered himself so that he is always equal from the eyes of man, always equal to Satan. Or Satan is always equal to that Hashem, because that's what gives us free will. The fifth verse. Ki sata mishpatai ledini yashvata leki se shofet sedek. For you alone have always executed judgment for me against my enemies and upheld my cause. You alone occupy the throne, O righteous judge. King David is saying that I didn't win any of these wars. I didn't overcome my human enemies, my humans that I was in conflict with, by virtue of my own skills, but because Hashem supported him in his actions. So Hashem gets the credit. And this is a verse that is well used, can be used to keep your consciousness moving towards a state of complete humbleness, to recognize nothing you have ever done in the positive sense is your own action. It's all accomplished because Hashem supports you. Use this 8 words. 8 connects to the level of Bina, one level above the physical world. Bina, that is the world that is coming. Use these 8 words as a repetitive phrase. It connects you to the world that is coming and brings that energy, that manifestation into effect. the sixth pasuk. Garta goyim ibata rasha shemam machita leolam waed. Do you see the olam in this verse? Remember, when we put these vowels to it, the O and the A, we are taking the potential five different ways of understanding the verse and bringing it down to one or two. Yet, in a scroll, there are no vowels. Always remember that what we're reading, well, the translation is just one level, not multiples. Rabbi Sutton tries to bring more than one level in the translation, but we always need to understand that impact. Is this verse part of the psalm, the whole psalm? The answer is yes. The meaning of the whole psalm is one level. The meaning of this particular verse may be on a different level, a different frame of reference than this psalm. It has a meaning within the psalm, but it may have a meaning outside of the psalm. For you alone have always executed judgment for me against my enemies and upheld my cause. You alone occupy the throne, O righteous one. Ah, my mistake. We already did that. I'm working on verse 6, and that was verse 5. You have rebuked nations on Israel's behalf. When the time comes, you will therefore have done away with the wicked man, with the wicked band. You will obliterate their names for all eternity. The seventh verse. Ha'oyev ta'amu. Ke'aravot lanetzach ve'arim natashta avad zikram heima. O enemy of God and man, the destruction you wreaked is over and gone forever. The cities you demolished, their memory was lost even before you turned them into ruins. Footnote number 30. Hirsch, which is the sage that had his Hilulah a couple of days ago, their memorial was lost when they existed, before you ever turn them into ruins. That which can be made to perish with a world-conquering kick of the foot must have been based upon a principle that had no future to begin with. It is merely the case of a stronger tyrant overcoming a weaker despot. Such a victor is a tool in the hands of Hashem for the destruction of something that is doomed to ruin, just as he himself must eventually fall. Alternatively, the enemy rose and is now finished. The destruction he wreaked is over and gone forever. You, God, have demolished the cities which he built. Their memory is lost.
Okay.
what Rabbi Sutton is trying to say is when something is created or something is formed, whether it be a piece of wood or a nation with a goal, if it is not meant to be eternal, if it is not connected to Hashem and the plan of creation, then it has no survival. And therefore, even though it looks like it's there, it's gone. Because the end is in the beginning. And the beginning is in the end. The eighth verse. Va'adonai Yohewahei Le'olam Yeshev Konein Lam Shepat Kiso. But a time is coming when Hashem's reign will be revealed for all eternity. He is preparing his throne now for judgment. Is this statement a true statement? When Hashem reveals his presence, will he never conceal his presence again? The answer is, he revealed himself to Moshe, and then he concealed himself because of actions. It's a cycle that is being expressed here. It's what's being expressed is an end to the cycle. But will there ever be an end to cycles? Is a question one must I recommend that one contemplates. I realize that we have not gone very far, but I'm having difficulty with the sniffles. It's not a cold, it's just a very severe allergy. So I am going to call this class now, and I apologize for the shortness of the class and not picking up the whole subject. But I need to do this. So I hope you all are well and you have a good holiday for those of you in America. I wish all of you to have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. And I remind you that tonight there will be two classes, one at 4:30 and one at 7. And that tomorrow night at 7 p.m. is our Rosh Chodesh connection. Shalom to all.
Okay, thank you. Shalom. Shalom. Hope you get to feeling well. Shalom.